Hi, everyone.
Hi.
And welcome to another edition of Superman's Other Pals, a podcast where I, Gary Rowland, go through an issue of the Silver Age comic Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen with my teenage daughter,
Ella Plum Rowland.
And together we, we check it out. And we show that it's the real deal? No?
I wouldn't say so.
I don't know. Together, we check it out. I leave it
sure.
at that. Together,
sure.
That's what we do. We check it out. We talk about it. We break it down. And hopefully, you like that.
Hopefully.
Welcome, anybody who is a new listener. Welcome, anybody who is an old listener.
Yep.
Just welcome. And I know that it's been a while since we've done this.
Pandemics are weird.
Yeah, I thought I would have more time. I would, you know, not lying. I thought I would have more time for recording, but it seems that I have less time.
In this day and age, time is an obsolete construct.
It is a flat circle. At least that's what Matthew McConaughey tells us in True Detective.
I don't know what that is.
I don't really know. I mean, it's a show on HBO. I don't really know what it is either.
I vaguely know who Matthew McConaughey is. So.
He's the guy who is known for saying, "All right, all right, all right."
Sure.
He's everybody's favorite chill dude.
Sure.
Okay. Enough patter, let's get to the thing. So, we are at issue 91, and that is March of 1966.
When did we get to 1966?
We just broke the 1966 barrier last week. Last episode, last issue.
Okay.
So this time, you know, so we're now in 1966. And on the cover, we see Superman lifting Jimmy up by the leather jacket. Jimmy is dressed as a teen hoodlum.
Wearing a wrestling championship belt.
He's wearing an extra wide belt and a leather jacket with jeans turned up, cuffed.
Cuffed at like halfway up his calf.
Right. And big black motorcycle boots. And in the background, there are guys, other guys who look like motorcycle hoodlums. And Superman is holding up Jimmy and say, "Listen, punk, start talking about the capers and you and your motorcycle mob pulled or I'll pulverize you." And then Jimmy says, "You don't scare me, Super Fink. I'm no Stoolie." And then a guy, one of the motorcycle gang guys, goes, "Any cat who stands up to Superman is A-OK with me. Let's sign up Jimmy for the Dragon." And then it says, "Featuring Jimmy Olsen's most dangerous anti-crime role yet in The Dragon Delinquent."
Yup.
So, then brings us to the inside to the first story, just straight up.
Yep.
This is during a time when they have moved from three stories per issue to two stories per issue. So there are only two stories in this. One of them being much longer than the other. Anyway, so, do you want to read the beginning? Okay. Don't sound so excited.
Sure.
Okay. So, coming up to read the first story, the intro to the first story in issue 91, 1966, March 1966, we have everyone's favorite teen host of a Jimmy Olsen podcast. And her name, as you all know, is Ella Plum Rowland. And she is good at reading, especially reading out loud. Here she is, Ella Plum Rowland, any minute now. She's going to read. Then she reads. She's reading, trying to figure out how to make it sound.
Trying to figure out when he's going to stop talking.
And she's, she's analyzing the words, parsing them, putting them into order, putting into them inflections and other types of stuff. Here she is. Everybody. Here she is now. She's going to read. Here she is reading. Ella Plum Rowland. Okay, I got it.
Dad!
I said.
Dad!
I gave you
Dad,
an opportunity.
Dad! No.
I gave
no,
you an opportunity.
No. No.
And it looks like. No. Folks, it seems like she wasn't ready for it yet.
I need you to stop talking for more than 3 seconds.
I gave you an opportunity and she seems to not
dig
it.
I need you to stop talking for more than 3 seconds.
Here she is. Ella Plum Rowland.
Two. Three, you've seen Jimmy Olsen in hot soup before. What? Up to his neck. But he really tackles trouble with a capital T when he takes on the job of infiltrating a teenage gang. Get set for action and surprise when the red-haired reporter has to pose as a hard-boiled hoodlum and turns into an Academy Award performance as the Dragon Delinquent.
Okay, so here in the first...
Trouble with capital T that I P that stands for pool.
All right.
I'm sorry I had to.
Okay. In this first panel, we see Jimmy Olsen tied to a bell.
Yup.
And there is a Quasimodo-looking guy.
Weird.
Pulling some kind of lever saying, "You're too tough to talk, eh? Well, this automatic mechanism will keep the bell ringing for hours. The vibrations should loosen your tongue, pal." Now, it's just so weird that you find out this is about motorcycle hoodlums, and then suddenly there's Quasimodo.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens with that in the future. So, our story begins at the offices of the Daily Planet, where... Jimmy is talking to the new editor-in-chief of the Daily Planet.
That's not allowed. They're not allowed to replace Perry White. When did this happen?
I don't know. So at some point in time, I'm not exactly sure when. It is probably covered in another issue. Of some other thing in the superverse is the governor appointed Perry White as a senator.
That's not how that works, though.
Actually, at one point it was.
Okay.
At one point it was. The thing about senators was supposed to be that it was kind of like the House of... It was kind of like the House of Lords and House of Commons. Like your congressmen were voted by popular vote. Like, that's what it was. But senators were supposed to be appointed. And so that was supposed to, like, they were supposed to balance each other out. But at some point in time, that stopped happening. And senators were also approved by vote. So it follows the will of the people in all cases. So Jimmy Olsen is talking to Mr. Benson, who is his replacement, and Mr. Benson seems to not have time for Jimmy's antics. So he comes in, and Jimmy comes in, and he's wearing the motorcycle hoodlum outfit. And he says, "Okay, characters, take me to your leader. I want to see the editor." And Mr. Benson says, how did that overgrown delinquent get in here? Toss him out on his ear. And he says, I got this idea. I'm going to be like, look at this thing, man. There's this crime wave with a teen gang, and we've got to find out. I will infiltrate it as Jimmy Olsen, and I will become a member of this gang, and it'll be a great scoop. But Mr. Benson is not down with it. And he's like, you flubbed the last two assignments. You'd be lucky if I let you sharpen pencils. Get lost, Olsen!
And so
the next day, Jimmy Olsen fakes having a broken arm
in order to get out of work so that he can do what he wants to do.
Right. So Mr. Benson says, okay, get out of here, you layabout.
And then Jimmy Olsen rents a motorcycle and drives over a flower bed.
Right. So he goes and he gets a motorcycle and then he just heads out to Mapleton where we start out and then we go to Mapleton, and as students head for school, you see these motorcycle hoodlums, and these motorcycle hoodlums are just like, they're riding their motorcycles through the flower beds, just willy-nilly, just tearing around, not caring about who gets in their way. And
one of them is Jimmy.
Right.
And his old principal recognizes him.
Right. And so he recognizes Dr. Warren, and he's like, I can drop my leather jacket act with you. You're the only one in town who knows I'm a reporter. And Dr. Warren says, Jimmy, as an old graduate of Mapleton High, I knew you'd help get the goods on those teenage toughs. So then Jimmy is then going undercover to give him some background as to the Dragons. And they've done all kinds of like vandalous things, like stealing strange objects as a flagpole from City Hall, a beacon from the radio tower, and a statue from the museum roof.
Those really don't seem like, you know, kid thing.
Like, well, you know, it is totally the kind of thing that a kid, like, kids just steal random stuff. Huh? Or, you know, they just do stuff for kicks, man. Anyway, so Jimmy then goes and pretends to be a delinquent, drawing a funny picture of Miss Starling, the English teacher, who sends her to the office, and he's like, I'm out of here. And so next, we find at the edge of town, there's a hot dog stand, and at this hot dog stand are members of the Dragons. They're all like hanging out. And so this one guy rides in and goes, one side, creep. I'm taking over. Okay, doll. Weenies and
sodas
for all. Fireball Jimmy Oliver is buying. And as we all know, Jimmy Oliver is, Jimmy Olsen.
He really is not great at coming up with aliases.
Well, I guess he feels like it doesn't really matter. Like, Jimmy, everybody's, more than one person is named Jimmy. Mm. And then some guy tries to pick his pocket, and in his pocket is a
mouse trap.
And he gets the booby, and Jimmy goes, that booby trap gizmo is sure a cure for itchy fingers, friend.
And then the kid's like, why, I oughta? And then they do.
And then they get into a fight. And Jimmy gets the best of him.
No. Jimmy gets his butt handed to him.
So he says, oh man, this kid is bouncing me around like a rubber ball. And so Jimmy, so eventually they figure out that Jimmy is, he's an okay guy.
Well, first, they tell him he's got to drive into a brick wall.
Well, yeah, that's a, well, you know, they say he's going to be, he's an okay guy. Like, we'll let him join our gang. But the first part of the first thing is to draw that, yeah, he has to drive a motorcycle into a brick wall.
And he can't stop too soon.
Right. Because it is a classic game of chicken.
Except it's with a brick wall.
Right, except it's with a brick wall, and there's only one participant.
Yeah. Really, it's a game of, are you dumb enough to kill yourself?
Right. So, he slams into the wall.
Because someone cut his brakes?
No.
No.
Something's,
he said the brakes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, there somebody did cut his brakes, but he slams into it. And you find out that is a plastic movie prop made of plastic bricks.
Where did they get their hands on
that? I don't know. So Jimmy's like, I knew it. I didn't see any cement between those bricks. So then the next thing is an interrogation.
From Superman.
Right. Well, first they say, you know, tell us about the crimes you've committed. And Jimmy gives, like, all these little crimes. And they're like, hey, give us something big time. And so then Superman comes up and says, talk up, you pipsqueak. Tell what capers you've pulled and will, or, and who helped you, or I'll pulverize you. And Jimmy's like,
he says some weird stuff.
You don't scare me, Daddy-O. I'm no Stooley. But he says, but in the process, he then says that he stole three cars, stuck up a filling station, and robbed a supermarket too. But he won't squeal on his pals. And he said, nuts to you, blue drawers! Oh, I wish that we could get, I wish that some of the, sometimes stuff like that comes back. I love nuts to you.
It's not my favorite.
So
they recorded that confession. So they're like, and now we got dirt on you.
Right. So now we'll let you be. And then they're like, this is, what? So, oh. He's, and then Jimmy's like, Superman belongs to the dragons? And they're like, relax. It's only a super robot programmed to test you.
He had known that because he pressed signal watch and Superman didn't respond.
Right. So then we have
an ad.
An ad. And then we have an ad. Look up in the sky. It's Supercat. It's Superhorse. And Supergirl. At last, by popular demand from thousands of her fans, the mighty Maid of Steel stars in her own 80-page giant with her pet Streaky and Comic and, of course, her cousin Superman. Supergirl's Fortress of Solitude, on sale January 18th. So then it gives all kinds of stories about Supergirl's first romance, the Cave Girl of Steel, Supergirl meets the Legion of Superheroes, and then Supergirl Super Games with Superboy. And, of course, a story, the origins of Supergirl and Streaky and Comet the Superhorse. And a special surprise. What that surprise is, they don't... Oh, wait. The surprise feature is Supergirl's Fortress of Solitude. And then we have an ad for...
the weirdest looking cat I've ever seen in my life.
AMT. And then the strange looking cat, who apparently talks to some Lord Fauntleroy guy.
He's a salesperson speaking to, like, tiny Sherlock Holmes.
Who has a cravat or something.
Somehow both Sherlock Holmes and Richie Rich at the same time.
And the cat saying, you're buying yourself a Christmas gift in January? And the boy says, sure, with my Christmas money, winter time's fun, with AMT's great 1937 cord kit. What a car! Big 15 inches long windows, crank up and crank down headlights, fold into fenders, and workable center point steering, and everything's authentic. It's Christmas fun all over again, cat.
Cat spelled with a K. Weirdest cat thing I've ever seen in my life.
He's the cat from AMT. And he learns how money gifts stretch Christmas fun into January. And they say, surprise yourself. Get AMT's big kit in the 15-inch long 1937 cord, super detailed. All the way more than 250 color and chrome parts. $7.99 at your local hobby or department store.
So that's not a usable car.
It's not a real car. No, it is a model car that kids build because this is a time, it's not really as big a deal as it once was, but kids loved to build models.
All right.
I loved to build models.
I like sewing.
Model cars. I was a big model cars, not a big model cars kid, but I did build a number of model cars in my time. All right, so then there's a second Smash issue showcasing the earth-shattering duel between the Spectre and the most fabulous hero in the Golden Age of comics, and Shathen, the ultimate villain of all time and space.
That seems like a high bar.
That he's the ultimate villain of all time and space?
Yeah.
Well, Spectre's a pretty nasty guy on his own.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to the story.
So the dude's like, we got this Superman robot from our super secret boss who's named Mr. Traitor. That's a weird and weirdly on-the-nose name.
Yes. But of course, he can't have anything to do with being a traitor.
Of course not.
Okay. So.
So he pays them to loot specific things.
Right. And he says, go to the top of Swarthmore Apartments with Chip and steal this weather vane. And so, so he goes and they wind up stealing the, anyway, so they start to steal the.
They climb up the side. They climb up. Building,
right.
Like 1960s Batman.
Right. And so, they're like, this, we're pretty high up, and then it doesn't matter because, you know, Jimmy says, I could steal that weather vane if it were the Empire State Building. And then they get up, and then it turns that
this is Miss what's her face's apartment.
All right, so he gets to the apartment, and then you find out that actually it's the apartment of Miss Starling, who used to, I guess, who apparently now has a thing for, I guess, went to school with Jimmy, and
has since gotten very beautiful.
Right.
We've heard this before.
Have gotten very beautiful and strong, and Jimmy, and so she's got a thing for Jimmy. And
her eyes are like huge.
And he's like, I gotta go steal that weather vane. And so Jimmy goes to steal the weather vane, making plans with Miss Starling that they will have a cozy dinner just for the two of them. So, and then Jimmy, of course, thinks, why would Jimmy Olsen, you know, he's like, why do they need a weather vane? And so he goes back downstairs and gets and talks to, sees Miss Starling again, and then is like, oh, and then the phone rings.
And he answers it, but it's knockout gas.
Right.
And then he wakes up and he hears Chip talking to Miss Starling, and she tells him who he is. Because she doesn't actually like him.
Right. Because I'm sure he jilted her, and now she's angry with him.
But also at the same time, Jimmy, as much as he'd like to believe he's a ladies' man, is like 0 for 200.
Right.
With people from this planet,
right?
At least.
Yes. If you're from another planet, man, do you dig that Jimmy Olsen?
But if you're on Earth, no.
No. Even Lucy Lane, the girl that he is engaged to, is not always is rarely good with him. So anyway, so the next job they have is to steal this gargoyle from the Tower of Notre Dame, which is a tourist attraction somewhere in Metropolis. So they get up there and
in Mapleton.
I'm sorry. So they get up there and there is a Quasimodo looking guy as the escort, and
God, wouldn't it suck to be, like, forced to wear that as a costume?
I know.
You're like, because then, like, you have to, like, change your posture for, like, hours at a time. I guess
maybe they just put in a hump.
But still, you can see he's, like, physically leaning forward.
So, Jimmy Olsen goes to steal the gargoyle, but is caught by Quasimodo.
And then there's a turtle.
And then there's a gag comic called Super Turtle. And he's rushing over to the enemy, or to the embassy, and he gets called there, and they're like, oh, let him go, it's Super Turtle. And then he turns out that the ambassador needs a babysitter, and Super Turtle is in need of a babysitter, and so that's why he called Super Turtle.
Ew.
It's not funny. Not funny. All right, so Jimmy Olsen drops the gargoyle, and Quasimodo's like, hey, what did you do with it? And Jimmy's like, I ain't talking. And so Quasimodo knocks him unconscious.
Ties him to the ringer of the bell.
And then sets the ringer.
To keep going. Now that is the kind of thing that could blow out your eardrums and shatter your teeth.
Yes, that is the kind of thing that could kill you.
Like that, he's like, I'll leave you for a couple hours. In a couple hours, he'll be dead.
Right. Yeah, it's terrible. It is a terrible thing, and the ringing would pretty much, I think, kill you.
If, you know, you didn't slam into the inside of an iron bell.
Right, that's true. And then Quasimodo goes and continues to, like, try to figure out what's happening. But then suddenly,
Chip shows up and unties him. And Jimmy's like, thanks, Chip, or should I say Robin? And then Robin unmasks himself and he's like, how'd you know it was me? And he was like, well, only Robin can climb the side of a building like that.
I guess that's true.
He does it in the 67
show. He does it in the 66 show, yes. So it turns out that Jimmy Olsen, that Robin, Batman's youthful ward, Dick Grayson, is also looking into
the gang.
The gang.
And then we find out that Superman has the gargoyle.
Right. And that I'm sure it's not Brainiac. Holy hat.
They're using it to track down Mr. Traitor.
Right.
But then as they're all discussing this, Quasimodo is like, hey! It's you! You're gonna get it! And then Jimmy Olsen and Robin both beat him up.
Right.
And that's it.
With thud, slam, buff!
They brought those in from the Batman universe.
Yes, they really did. So then Batman and Superman show up.
Batman!
And they crack open the gargoyle, and they find
telescoping lenses where the eyes would be. Basically, it was a spy cam.
Right. And it turns out that there was film that was developed, and they find out that there's these super secret plans for a some kind of top secret weapon.
Aircraft carrier?
Yes, a floating fortress. An airfield protected by every weapon, Batman.
So then they decide that can't happen. And then Superman goes to the gang itself and is like, hey, this is what's happening. And then all of a sudden the gang is like very patriotic.
Yes, that often happens.
Like, they go from like, screw the system, we're delinquents, to like, I need to fight for my country.
Right. Well, everybody likes to fight for their country. I remember actually that there was an issue of, it was either Iron Man or the Avengers, where there were these Russian robots, or Russian villains that were coming in and were going to steal stuff for the Soviet Union. And the other villains who were there saying, you know, look, we may be seedy. They're like, we may be seedy outcast hoodlums, but we're American seedy outcast hoodlums. So,
oh yeah, that happened with the Joker. Something about the Red Skull, and he was like, you're a Nazi? I may be a villain, but I'm an American.
Exactly.
Nazis are not okay.
Exactly. So, they go.
Which I think that's a strange phenomenon.
It is kind of a strange phenomenon, but like everybody, but you know, this is like a time when it was truth, justice, and the American way.
Sure.
I mean, yes, it was starting to be like that whole thing was like we were starting to question ourselves in a really big way, but he still, they still, still had that patriotic pride with them.
Sure. So they go to Mr. Trader's house and there's a bunch of flags everywhere from like every single country. And they were like, what's up with all this? And he's like, well, I fly all the flags in the world, but I am only loyal to myself. And I don't get it. Like, I get it, but I think it's dumb.
It is. And what he was doing is he was going to sell the plans or the footage of the flying fortress, of the floating fortress to the highest bidder. And but
and
you
then
know,
they stop him.
And then they stop him.
He tries to shoot Superman.
Superman shows in. Oh, actually, so Mr. Trader pulls a machine gun and is about to mow down the hoodlums of the dragons, but then Superman flags in and protects them all, and then saves everybody. And then later, Jimmy Olsen turns the story over to his boss. Oh, wait. No. They turn him over to the federal authorities, first of all. And Superman gets a signed confession that Trader auctioned off the military secrets to the highest bidder. He was proud of his treasonous work. His real name is Trey, but he deliberately changed his name to Trader as his own private joke.
That's a dumb idea.
And they find out that Quasimodo is actually part of a rival gang who stole Trader's spy camera gimmick. And like, so basically everything is better. And then Jimmy,
they just ended a gang war.
Right. And then Jimmy, writes the story and Mr. Benson is
forced to acknowledge him as a reporter.
Exactly. So, but first, and as we fade out, let's go, Rena. You owe me a dinner. But I'll settle for a picnic lunch. Jimmy, you're the sweetest pupil a teacher ever had.
That's kind of...
It doesn't matter that I gassed you. Okay, so then it brings us to our next story. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Detroit Kid. And he's taking off like a guided missile. But where does this notorious gambler get the power to fly? And what are the weird shackles that are linked to him to Jimmy Olsen? You'll be mystified, puzzled, and baffled by this fabulous story behind Jimmy Olsen's magic manacles. And so, there's a guy. We see Jimmy. Jimmy has these, is attached to handcuffs. The other end of the handcuffs is attached to this guy who's flying.
Who looks suspiciously like Clark Kent with a fake mustache
and glasses.
He does
look a lot like Clark Kent, mild manner reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper. So, the guy says, wow, your magic handcuffs really worked, Olsen. You gave me orders to fly and I'm blasting off. And Jimmy's going, yee, let me down. And these two guys at the bottom are going, terrific. Those weird handcuffs gave Olsen the magic power to make the Detroit Kid obey his every command. If I had those bracelets, I could force every financier and jeweler in Metropolis. to open his vault. So we start the story. Jimmy Olsen, cub reporter, is going to a firehouse to check out the firemen, and then
write a story.
Right, and write a story. But he's also carrying these weird bracelets with him, and obviously the chief says, "What's with the charm bracelets? You going to be going to join the police department?" And Jimmy then says, "These are the magic manacles of Zorn. I'm writing an article about them. If you wear the gold cuff and I wear the silver one,
nope.
I can wait. If I wear the gold cuff and you wear the silver one, I can compel you to obey my commands."
He's like, "Nice try. That's fake." And then he tests it out.
Right. And sure enough, Jimmy then gets the guy to spray
everyone with the fire hose.
Right, to spray everyone with the fire hose.
Which is violent, because fire hoses are strong.
Maybe it's not the fire hose. Maybe it's just a local hose.
Okay.
So
while all this is happening, there's two dudes.
There are two dudes outside in a railroad depot nearby. So there's a guy named Jackpot.
Yep.
And he overhears them talking about the handcuffs. And
he must be talking really loud. They're across the street.
Yes, it's true. And so they say that, you know, it's got to be a gag. Hey, come on. We got to meet the Detroit kid, the big plunger. Do you know what a plunger is?
It's the thing you use for a toilet.
Yes, but it is also a slang expression for somebody who's a big-time gambler.
Okay.
So they then
go to the train station, and there's this mysterious dude with sunglasses and a mustache and a fedora.
And he identifies himself as...
The Detroit kid. And so they're doing that. But meanwhile, back with Jimmy, he tests his thing out on Lucy.
Right. Which apparently works.
Yeah, he's like right on the fence that you love me. And she's like, "Stop being ridiculous. I need to fix my makeup." So she grabs her lipstick, and then before she can fix her makeup, she uses her lipstick to write that she loves Jimmy. And then she smacks him across the face.
Right. How dare you let me express my love for you?
Not let, force.
How dare you force me to express my love for you?
Also, it doesn't necessarily mean that she loves him. It means that he's telling her to say that. It's a whole thing. And you know, that's a waste of good lipstick.
It's true.
So they see the dudes, the troublemakers, gamblers, whatever, see it from across the street and are like, "See? So."
And they say, "Magic, bah. Olsen's pulled hoaxes like this before. He's probably working on some case with his pal Superman."
I also would love to point out that when he points it out, he's like, "That dame has been giving Olsen the brush for years. Everyone in town knows the fact that Jimmy's girlfriend hates him."
It's true. And so the Detroit kid goes to Jimmy and is like, "Hey, I saw you operate those kooky cuffs. I'll donate $100 to your fan club if those bracelets can make me fly." And then, sure enough,
they can.
They make him fly. And they're like, "What? Well, how did this happen?" And then Jimmy says, "Centuries ago, a usurper seized the throne of Zorn to humiliate the rightful king. He ordered the royal magician to create a diabolical chain." And basically, the manacles were created by a guy, and then
they were a lot longer back then.
Heartsick at the ex-king's disgrace, the wizard visited the captive cell. And so He says, "The usurper forced me to create those evil chains, but tomorrow, when they shackle you, I will chant a magic spell that will make you the king again."
And then he does, and then everything's great.
Right. And then he makes the other king, he makes the usurper bark like a dog and everything's back to normal.
Yeah.
And Jimmy says, hey, these modern handcuffs were made from the manacles of Zorn, but they still have their magic power.
And so
he's like, hey, you were a staff to pay $100 for the circus stunt. And then Detroit Kid says, don't worry about nickels and dimes. Think big. We can buy those handcuffs from Olsen, and we can force anyone to do what we want. Jewelers, bankers, prison wardens. I get the picture, but I'll handle this deal myself. And so
they try and buy it off of Jimmy, and he's like, I'm not so sure about that. Someone might use these for bad purposes.
And so, you know, so they lose it out. They lose out to Jimmy. And Jackpot is at, so the next day they're at the thing with Jackpot. They're Jackpot's hideout. And criminal scientists charged me a mint for the scanner in my attaché case. But it won me a fortune in bets. We'll keep it tuned on Olsen till we get a chance to grab his cuffs.
And so he's on TV demonstrating the beautiful, mystical, magical powers of it by making this, like, skinny kid lift, like, 300 pounds in one hand.
Right.
And then he has money that he has stolen from a jet pilot, and he's gonna pay it to Olsen for the cuffs, and then Olsen's like, sure.
Right.
I know that I'm a moral person, but I also need money.
And then he said, hey, you have to sign this agreement that this sale is final and you won't want your money back. Which should have been a tell. So the Detroit Kid was right. Olsen couldn't resist hard cash.
Until we realize.
So then he walks into a bank.
With the cuffs.
And
Slaps
on the cuffs and says, these handcuffs will make my order stick. Open the vault and make it quick.
Oh, yeah, it has to rhyme.
Right. And so the guy, the cashier's like,
get this guy out of here.
No. No. He's like, hey, you're supposed to obey me. And then they're like, and then the guy's like, no. How about no? And then a little more, no.
So the dude's like, I've been conned. So he gets arrested, the money goes back to the pilots, and everything is right in the world.
Right. And everything is right in the world. And then you find out that the Detroit Kid is actually Superman!
Which is why he looks suspiciously like Clark Kent, except with sunglasses and a fake mustache.
Exactly. Saw the kid do and flying takeoff. So basically, selling it as the... As flying off was the thing that sort of sold it.
Yeah. And so then he and Lucy go out to dinner.
Right. And that's that. Then there's a ad for...
It's the Flash.
Till the people saw with their own eyes their idol, the Flash, hanging up his uniform, packing bag and baggage, leaving town and his super speedster career forever. The startling details are revealed in the latest issue of the Flash. Flash's final fling.
Well, that's... There's a show of that now, so there's no way that that's the last.
Right, but also, there was a time, like, in the 60s, pretty much every superhero, had, like, a severe existential crisis.
I mean, I would, too.
There was a time when, I think it was Robin left for college, and Batman shut down the Batcave.
Because he couldn't deal with his son being gone?
I guess so. And then another thing, like Wonder Woman lost her powers.
Oof. That's no good.
And so she was just like a 60s mod girl for a bunch of issues. Then we have Jimmy Olsen's pen pals, and somebody wrote, hey, Jack Larson, Jimmy Olsen on the Superman TV show was on Gomer Pyle, USMC, on Friday, September 27. Will he be seen on any any of the upcoming shows with Gomer, because of course, Gomer Pyle. He started out as a guy in Mayberry on the Andy Griffith Show, and he was sort of the town idiot. And he talked like this, and his name, he had a catchphrase, which was surprise, surprise, surprise. But the other weird thing about Jim Nabors, who's the guy who played Gomer Pyle, was he was an operatic singer. He had a beautiful, beautiful voice. Mm. So that was one, you know, because, but, you know, also it's DC Comics, not the other thing. So, okay, so then we get to the last,
You get stuff.
Where for
you pay
$37.55.
That's the most expensive thing I've ever seen in a comic book ad of this era.
I'm sorry. Includes all above, only $37.95. Send only $2 with coupon. Pay only $3.95 plus postage for each of the 9 kits.
So there's 9 science kits.
Right. And the kits are electrical lab, strobe light, photoelectric relay, analog computer, light and optics lab, photography lab, radio lab and course, DC power supply, photomicrography pad lab, slide projector, light transmitter and receiver, atomic energy lab.
That seems dangerous.
It says that it has safe radioactive materials.
That's not a thing.
Alpha source in handy containers and uranium ore.
That's not a thing.
A spectroscope, ultraviolet lamp, surveyor's transit, telescope and mount, and weather station.
Safe radioactive material is an oxymoron.
No. Well, it's what they considered safe at the time.
Yes, well, they didn't necessarily.
There was a story about a kid who, like, they, for a long time, in, like, chemistry sets, they had uranium.
I know.
And so a kid collected all the uranium and made a nuclear reactor.
This is why we don't give dangerous chemicals and elements to children.
Not anymore. Okay.
All of that for, like, less than $40 is a lot.
It is.
Especially for radioactive materials.
So, that brings us to the end of issue 91. I would like to thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for subscribing, if you're subscribing. If you don't subscribe, if you would be so kind as to describe, if to subscribe if you do like the show, and I hope you do. If you could write a review in the iTunes, would be lovely. If you could tell one of your friends one of the stories that you encounter on our episode to sort of help get the word out that Jimmy Olsen is a comic book worth following, which I think it is. Yeah. We've done 91 of these.
Yep.
Still a little amazing to me.
That is a lot.
So, thank you to the Spin Doctors for not suing us.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you want to say?
Support your local roller derby.
All right. And until then, this is Gary Rowland.
This is Ella Plum Rowland.
And we say Superman away!
Away!